What's up, family? Welcome to another episode of Fresh Pharaoh Entertainment. We're your host. I'm Horace the Pharaoh.
And it's the guy. Damn, I forgot my name.
Oh my God. Oh my God. I never thought.
I'm thinking he about to make
Bro,
up another
4 years
title.
Into this shit. And I said, and I used to boy, the God. I like nigga. What?
That ain't never happened, bro. I literally blanked.
We keeping this in the cut. Nah, we keeping it in the cut. Keep it going.
I know that outro is gonna be terrible. Now it's gonna be like from men to women. Oh shit.
All right, I'm good. Y'all know who it is. It's Donnie Ascendant.
It's your boy, Rod the Guy. Oh, and we back with y'all with another banger.
Yes sir. So you know, despite Don periodic amnesia throughout this episode, you know what I'm saying? We're gonna be talking about the Hall of Amenti and Thoth, because I feel like when we talk about the Hall of Amenti, you kind of gotta bring in Thoth, you know what I'm saying?
Of course.
So on that note, we're gonna go ahead and jump it in, you know what I'm saying? But I feel like before we really get into the nitty-gritty of this episode, I feel like since we're talking about the Hall of Amenti, we gotta talk about two things that I think are probably very important when you're talking about like certain locations in history about metaphysics. Well, especially related to like Egypt, I think we gotta talk about Thoth and we have to talk about the Emerald Tablets real quick. You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
So these two are hand in hand. The Emerald Tablets are seen as, I think, one of the oldest pieces of information. As you can see, it's actually like stuff written on tablets, you know what I'm saying? Information etched, you could say etched from the gods, and the author of it is Thoth. And Thoth mm-hmm. would consider himself the Atlantean priest, the son of the Atlantean priest, right? So mm-hmm. Thoth, he's seen as a deity, the deity of knowledge. He never claimed to be a knowledge, right? He just claimed to be the son of the Atlantean priest. You know, he was given information, given knowledge, right? And so, but for information states, we would say he's the god of knowledge, right? You have the Book of Thoth, which is something also that was written by him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think he ruled over Amenti for, I think he said, 14,000 years, right? And that's according to the Egyptians, not by me. You feel me?
Yeah.
And so what this tells me, because the Hall of Amenti is going to explain, well, how does someone rule over for 14,000? How did this happen? That? The first thing I hear of, what does this remind me of? This reminds me of a comic book character, right? Apocalypse. Cool. Right, so
okay, I see.
If you ever remember, especially if you watch the movies, because I read X-Men comics, but I ain't stupid, but I think X-Men comics really got most of the gems. X-Men and Fantastic Four really has some of the most gems in relation to metaphysics and quantum mechanics. And mm-hmm. so what you would see, especially if you've seen that movie, I think it was 2015, 2016, Age of Apocalypse.
Yeah. They really went into like the Egyptian.
Yeah, he was an Egyptian priest when he died, didn't he?
Yeah, remember he was the first mutant. And so what would he do before he would die? He would transfer his body into another, or he would drain the consciousness of someone else and put himself into it, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right. So, of course, the movie is going to exaggerate it, but essentially how Thoth did this for so many years, right? He would transfer his consciousness into an avatar body. So it's not like he's possessing anyone. It said that Thoth and his people, those Atlantean descendants, would create avatar bodies, right? And where do we see this? The movie Avatar. Goddamn. Right? You know, they would create the blue bodies. They weren't stealing the indigenous people. They would create the body and put their consciousness in there, right?
Mm-hmm.
It said this is how Thoth lived for so many years, because he was given the knowledge when he would go down to these halls of Amenti, right?
Mm-hmm. And it's crazy you say that, because during my research, I was seeing a lot of correlation between the halls of Amenti and reincarnation. And it's like, that really is what reincarnation is. Like, a lot of times when we think of it, it's like, oh, you die, and then, you know, you go wherever, and then
you come back on horse.
The earth. You know, but it's like, reincarnation is still the same thing. If instead of, you know, you completely dying and being removed from this plane, if your consciousness is still, like, staying here, then that's reincarnation just within physical bodies. You know what I'm saying? So it's like the heart of Amenti is that correlation between the physical and then the beyond, almost.
Yeah, exactly. And when Thoth were writing the Emerald Tablets about the Hall of Amenti, and it's crazy because they just found these, I want to say about like 10, well, a little more than 10 years ago, but in history states very recently, but like a few decades ago, that there is the hundreds up to thousands of chambers underneath the Great Pyramid of Giza, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Not like no regular chambers, like full-fledged out chambers. They described it as a labyrinth. Like, it's a maze. It's just chambers on chambers on chambers.
Bro, right? It's a machine.
Yeah. And so, right? And so, mm-hmm. from people, I think, I want to say, not Bobby Hemmett, Billy Carson, I think he was mentioning about it. I read some stuff he said. He said you could tell that the machinery that they had there is no longer operational. Right, as in some of it's removed, some of that stuff is gone, but it's only prevalent while in this specific time period that we are finding and resurfacing these same things from 14,000 and hundreds of years ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is how it said through the Hall of Amenti and just, you know, the multiple homes of Thoth being these pyramids you find all over the world, he would be able to reincarnate himself on different planes, on different dimensions from that non-ether core strand, which I'll talk to much later in this episode. And I'm up to almost believe at this point that either the whole concept of Jesus is a derivative of Thoth. Either they were one and the same person, or the actual real version of Jesus could have been someone that studied under Thoth in this time period, right?
I'm so glad you said that, but not to cut you off, but I'm mm-hmm. actually reading through the compendium of the Emerald Tablets right now, and I'm looking at this excerpt of a quote from Thoth, and it says, "But in a time yet unborn will I rise again, mighty and potent, requiring an accounting of those left behind me," which is very interesting considering this was said by Thoth many, many thousands of years before Jesus tells his disciples almost the exact same thing in right. the Bible,
mm-hmm.
which is
almost
crazy
word for word.
Almost word for word, and that's pretty much like one of the main concepts behind Jesus is his death and his resurrection. And wow, that just kind of blew my mind. I ain't gonna hold you.
And so, but I think the craziest thing about it, see, so people that's been listening for years might be like, "Well, Aaron, why are you kind of siding with the religion aspect? I thought you hate it." I do. But my point is the religion and the concept are two different things. You know what I'm saying? The religion is the rules given to you by the book. That's the human applications, right? The same, all the stories in every religion all represent allegory. From Horus and Set, from the Book of Thoth, from the Bible to the Quran to the Torah to the Kabbalah, it's all allegory. You see what I'm saying? It's information to be used as a metaphor. It resonates to the people of that time period. You see what I'm saying? But they're all the same stories. The concepts and rules that you create for it, like certain people, oh, you can't eat pork. Oh, if you do this, you're going to die. If you masturbate, you're going to go to hell. All that type of stuff is a reflection of the human, you know what I'm saying, the rules plastered onto it.
And it's like, in my opinion, really, the end goal is for us to just realize what the structure of the physical world is in and of itself. Like, remember all them episodes back where we talk about how pretty much everybody comes to life with some type of lesson that they need to learn, right?
Yeah, universal suffrage. Mm-hmm.
Right, and if you don't figure out what that lesson is, if you don't learn your lessons throughout your lifetime, what's happened? Here, your consciousness within another avatar body, and you're not going to be able to transcend. But it's like, through Thoth, we understand, and it's like, we got to be able to use our knowledge and understand where we actually are in order to get ourselves out of that endless cycle of just, you know, coming back into another physical avatar, just keeping our consciousness stuck in this physical realm when there's so much beyond.
Nah, for real. And through that stuff he was saying, because Thoth says so much stuff that I can't wait to correlate in a few minutes or so. But like, he talks about how the technology in this hall, it wasn't just like regular technology. He was saying that you had to be at a certain level in your own conscious journey to even activate some of this stuff. You know what I'm saying? To even get down to the hall at some point required, because this technology is no longer in use, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Or operational. But he talks about how this creation works, because they would create bodies, they would create these avatars. So at this moment, I can't say whether like I don't care what you call Thoth. You could say he's an alien. You could say he was just a person that was elevated. You could say he was a light man. Yeah, you could say he was Birdman, Hawkman, all of the above. All we can really agree on is that he was an energy at some point, what his people represented. You could say he was Atlantean. You could clearly understand that they had advanced knowledge and they were trying to show that message, right? And so that's why I said everything we see, we said it before, art imitates reality. Everything about Thoth and his teachings are showing to come back up more and more from the movie. You got Altered Carbon, you got Avatar, you got, it's a non-profit organization I heard about a few days ago. I forget the name, but their whole purpose is like trying to create avatar bodies to transfer human consciousness. You got movies like Transcendence. You got, I think I forgot the company name. I should have wrote it down, but they're doing it where you can store your DNA on computer chips, right? So when you put the computer chip in the system, boom, there you at talking, right? And they did this experiment recently with a monkey. And they put the monkey was dying. They put the monkey's, information on a chip into a computer. And so the monkey's brain is still operating as if it's alive, but the body is dead. It's just monkeying around. You know what I'm saying?
First of all, that was cringy. Second of all, you're saying the monkey's brain is on a computer, like an AI almost?
Almost like AI, but it's the monkey's conscious. Like, it's the monkey's brain. It's still like the monkey's brain is still operating. The monkey is like, oh, I am alive. The monkey don't even realize it's dead.
Oh, that's crazy.
Right? And the monkey on the computer, just doing about thinking however he was thinking. Like, you can still see the waves are operational the same way, to the same capacity, as if it was walking around in the jungle.
Wow.
Right, and so it's only, what's the chance that all this stuff is starting to happen now when all this information is more prevalent than it's ever been, right? We know there ain't no such thing as coincidences. We know this stuff is all for a reason. It all happens intentionally. I believe Thoth probably knew there is a time period when all this information would be the most vital, and that's why it's resurfacing. Like we said, it's the age of Aquarius. We said that like 2 years ago. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so in these halls, I think they said you would find stuff like, they said specifically it was a lot of it would be like these granite slabs, and that the granite slabs would be where they would do the transfer. And it would say, because if you know anything about what is granite, a metal, a rock, right?
Yeah, it's like a rock.
You know, granite is, granite has like, granite is one of the things that's, it's not easy to, it all actually is almost impossible to warp granite, because you can expose it to really high temperatures to warp it, but the atoms and molecules gonna snap back and snap it into place. But they said what they would find in these chambers is that the granite will be warped permanently. So when you know anything about just like structure of certain elements and materials and rocks and stuff, that don't happen not with granite, you know what I'm saying? So they said it was clearly being exposed to such a high concentration of energy or light that it caused it to the point where it's permanently deformed, where the granite is not just smooth, but it's bent, in like a smooth right. You see what I'm saying? It said Thoth would use these not just for transfer, but the other Atlanteans would transfer. It said he would use one to transfer, to teleport to his other homes or the dimensional planes, right? So say, for instance, this made me think, well, dang, you got all the pyramids across the world, right? Mm-hmm. Same like in Tulum, Mexico, they found something very, very similar to the ones in the ancient pyramid of Giza. And they said, so we're led to believe that Thoth would teleport or transfer himself to these other places, to an avatar body he got in that specific area of the world, and repeat the same message. Why else are we seeing the same deities with just different names or different looks all over the world, meaning the exact, or emphasizing the exact same practices?
It's just so cool. Like, as you've been talking, I've been reading more, excerpts of Thoth in regards to the Hall of Amenti. And this literally just sounds like Jesus talking about heaven. Like, it's so crazy. And it's like, it really brings everything together. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like that the Halls of Amenti is that central source of energy, of knowledge that we always talking about, you know what I'm saying? That source that we all come from, that we all connected to, and at the end of the day that we are.
Nah, and you know, things, I think at this point, like where we are, not only on the podcast, but as a civilization, it gets really tricky to decipher this information because I think people are quick to riddle it with their own opinion versus what's actually stated. Because I've heard people say, oh, with a Hall of Amenti, or this deity was doing this, and you go read the text, and you're like, bro, that's not what it says. What are you talking about? So this is why I also emphasize you got to research and do this stuff on your own if you're really curious about the knowledge, because it's easy to put your own views into what the words of it says. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's prone to misconception.
Right, right. And so that's why you have so many different, again, like I said, with religions, how many denominations of Christian are there? It's like over 100.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't people agree on one? You know what I'm saying? If it was one right one, y'all wouldn't be, you wouldn't be able to, the original to be able to spread out. So I started rambling for a second. All
right. But nah, you right. Like, it's this world. It's so many avenues for belief. And I think that's kind of where we shoot ourselves in the foot. And I'm not saying to believe in what they believe in, but it's like we got so many different authors telling the same story that, you know, they've been telling they story for so long, they think it's different. You feel me?
Right. Exactly.
It's crazy because, like, this same information, like, these people that are writing the stories are literally getting the inspiration, same energy source. Yeah, right. In the physical plane, we find a way to conflict about it.
All right, because we thinking, I think we be thinking on one plane. Like I said, I'm gonna get to that later. I'm saving that part. Like, I got some real gems right there. But
okay, think another you about to go off into a nice little tangent with that one.
And so, I wanted to mention that Thoth talks a lot about coming back. So I'm going to correlate it to what you pretty much just said about, like, the time. Thoth talks a lot about coming back and about freeing those that's being enslaved from the darkness and bringing them to freedom to the light. And so, sure, you can take this on the literal aspect, like, oh, each day was enslaved, yada, yada. Yes, cool. That's true. But you got to also look, if this is the same story being told across the world, it's not just about what's happening there. This is about something greater than that. He's talking about the same thing we talk about every episode. You in the darkness, you got to come to the light to realize your power.
Mm-hmm.
And vice versa, right? You were enslaved by your mind, your ego. That's what enslaves you on this plane. He's talking about, if he's talking about transferring consciousness, like it's like he eating a bowl of cereal, he telling you the same thing. If he coming back to help you, why wouldn't he help you do the same thing? If you enslaved in the darkness, he's telling you, you in the dark, homie. You can get up out of here.
I feel like part of that freeing yourself from the ego is realizing what the physical world is. Because as we've mentioned before, the ego is a purely physical manifestation of your existence here, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like once you realize and truly realize this is all an illusion, my ego is only here to serve a purpose for my body. And my body is only here so that I can interact with this realm. And it's like, once you truly realize that, like you said, free yourself from that ego, get yourself into the light. And it's like people always say, you know, they might really start turning around because it's certain shit in life that just stop mattering. Like, you really realize that it's so much shit out there that just, in the grand scheme of things, just don't got no business having any type of hold over you.
Mm-hmm. I was feeling like how a lot of people identify mainly with, like, the materialistic side of their self, and they attach it to their identity. And I feel like that, mm-hmm. like, breeds, like, low self-awareness in a sense. Because, like, let's say, you know, of course, after you pass away in your soul after death, you're no longer your job. You're no longer what you do for fun. You're no longer, like, this person. You're your entity. And I believe that's what's going to stop people from, like, in that process from passing on, honestly.
Yeah, because you still have human ties to stuff that don't matter when you die. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Stuff that, and it doesn't matter how much you care about it here. That's great. Ain't nobody saying that. But you also, for example, if Jesus came right now, how many people would your immediate thought say? Let's just say if Jesus is real, he came and said, "Come with me now." How much would everybody drop? Would your first thought be, "Fuck all this shit"? Would you say, "Ooh, let me make sure I'm fresh with Jesus"? Ooh, am I? You know what I'm saying? Ooh, let me put it
right. How many people go sit there and say they drop what they doing in the middle of whatever they doing and say, "You know what? Fuck all my connections, fuck everything I done built here, fuck all of that, and I'm out. How many people are truly ready to do that?
Mm-hmm.
With no second thought, be like, all right, peace, deuces. This the end goal. You know what I'm saying?
And you know that's the type of shit where it's like, it ain't no room for hesitation. It ain't no room for second guessing. Like, they only want niggas who really about that moving on to the next round type shit.
Mm-hmm. All right. And so what I was also going to mention was that the halls and the pyramids, like we say, you was using those just to tune your chakras. You feel what I'm saying? That was just to get you in alignment here, right? So pretty much earth and your chakras. So this one, I'm about to tie everything into this non-ether stuff, right? It's going to be a little bit, because it get real scientific. But the earthly realm and your chakras, really, look at those as the first two realms. You know what I'm saying? The first two dimensions. Two ways at how you can view the entire universe. You got, well, let's just say where you are now. Just look around you. That's pretty much the earthly realm, right? That's your first realm. That's one dimension of how you can see everything that goes on and concept stuff. The second one is through your chakras. When you fully activate it, you can see everything on a broader spectrum. Cool. So that's basically saying you can leave your body, right? And to tie this into the whole non-ether, the non-parallel dimensions concept. To understand more where I'm getting some of this information from, I would say read The Elegant Universe by what's his name? Brian Greene. Really good book. It's like reading a scientific paper. It's like the ISIS thesis, but it's actually really interesting on top of everything. And so to understand the purpose of the Hall of Amenti and all these things, you have to look at string theory, which I think we mentioned last season or something, right?
Okay.
So string theory, ultimately, what people don't, string theory can really tell you, can study string theory for decades, as we see what people do now, right?
Mm-hmm.
So string theory is close to groundbreaking discovery, because we talked about it in the Dogon tribe episode, right? How that all correlates.
So,
but what happens is string theory also, it bridges modern physics to quantum physics, because there's a disconnect between the two, right? There's a lot of things that we do quantumly, or we talk about quantumly, that does not exactly align or mathematically equate to what is modern physics.
It's a reason why, like, Newtonian physics and Einsteinian physics, like, all it'd be so many theories, and they just that theories, because we still trying to figure out which one is really right. You feel me?
All right. And so with string theory, what they figured out was, okay, they said the main issue why they weren't working was that let's say if you would vibrate a piece of string, right? You know how you flip it and just going all crazy and all that shit. You know what I'm saying? They were saying that when you do the calculations for certain concepts in a larger quantum scale, you get negative probabilities. On our scale, on this reality, we only got 0 to 100%. You know what I'm saying? Of probability. But the problem was with the string theory and quantum, you get negative probabilities. So they were saying this doesn't, so it wasn't that we was getting stuff over 100 or below, you was getting the opposite, right? They was like, this can't resonate on this world, it can't make sense, right? So they said, okay, let's take a look at this. So they said they redid the calculations, right? And they found that if you vibrated a spring and looked at it in the nine dimensions, all the negative probabilities disappear, all the math
go back to within.
Right, so you already know. Let's just look at it scientifically to make it a little more sense. You can look at it from a scientific. You have the first two dimensions. Well, you have the first three dimensions. You got X, Y, and Z axis. And the fourth dimension will be time. Fifth and sixth will be probable worlds. Seven and eight will be standing worlds, and then nine will be able to go back and forth between those worlds. And there's another understanding of it. You can look at it even more nerdy, like axes on a plane. You got X, Y, Z, right? So left, right, up, down, horizontal. And then you have the other three axes. I forget their name. I don't want to say alpha and beta and some shit, but you got some other axes with weird names too. So you have six axes, right? For example, think about how, you know, if it's like a stool with three legs, and you know how they always wobbling?
Yeah,
it's always one leg uneven. It's because three axes really does not create balance, right? So they've been making certain, they make certain chairs that have six legs, because you won't get a single wobble, because they're on our plane, there's actually six axes of rotation. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
you can rotate something at 6 different degrees and get different results, right? For example, a door hinge, the door that's in your room right now, only one aspect of it is moving, that x-axis. The rest of them are all fixed. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why your door only opening and swinging. The other 5 are fixed. So you have, I wish I knew the name. See, I actually learned this from work too. See, I've been paying attention. You feel me? But I forget the other names, but took it up. There's 6 degrees of rotation, right? But going back to what I was saying, you would vibrate this string on the 9 levels, and this relates to the 9 ether, because what you could then get is you could look at these. So we said the first 2 levels is basically being human, right? So let's look at 3 to 9. The 3rd level would be considered like the earth portal, right? You almost like the almost like when you astral project to an extent. We can just say that for lack of a better word, right?
Mm-hmm.
You still, well, let's not say astral project. Let's just say on the earthly, it's like, I wish I can explain it better. The earth portal, we can just say it's entering through like the ego, like you coming down almost, right? You entering this realm. You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
No, just think of it as you coming out the womb down there. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Right. The 4th portal would be the 12th house illusion. So you would ultimately, that's where you would be astral projecting. You would essentially be where the constellations are, right? All right, you would become more of a you could become more of a
starship?
More so, yes, but it's more so it's like the concept of understanding. Okay, so now you tune with beyond this stuff, right? Just think of it as levels. Okay. Just think of it as levels, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then in the 4th and 5th level correlate, because the 5th level would be the duat, right? And when we said this is where Ra, you know, the story of where Ra comes and rides the boat across the sun. You know, if you seen Moon Knight, right? When they on the boat, when he did, he on the boat and they moving through, that'd be the duat, right? Remember what I said, it correlates, because I remember in the Isis thesis, they talk about the magnetosphere. That's why they say, oh, the sun god, everything is so hot there in the duat. That all represents the same thing. That'd be the 5th level. Now, the funny thing about the 4th and the 5th level is that to enter it, you have to be, you're going to meet Osiris on either end of that spectrum. So think of like a line. Think of like a number chart. What's the little lines? It's like, you know what I'm talking about. Think like a, what do they call? I can't even think. A number line, yeah. So, you know, on one end of the far left of the number line, you would have to, you would meet Osiris. And on the furthest right side, you would meet Osiris. In between it is the Duat in the 4th house of illusions, right? So, think of it. When you die, you got to go through the gate with Osiris. Cool. You got to make it through the Duat, because you can get stuck in the Duat, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you come out, you're going to meet Osiris again. He's like, all right, cool, homie. You know what I'm saying? So then you come in upon the 6th house, the sixth level, and this is where you see, this is where you will start to meet deities, right? The light and the darkness, all the deities that are considered light. I think they call those the Inkies, or something like that, and the dark they were called the Enlil, right? This is another name.
I like that Enlil, like they eventually like derived the name for the Anunnaki from them.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we could just say that's short term for you being on that same plane as the gods. That'd be your 6th dimension. The 7th and 8th dimension would be the chaos dimension, right? Let's just say that's chaos energy. So we could say that's dark matter, right?
Right.
To have something to relate, that'd be your dark matter. Because that's majority of
the ninth was like actually interacting with that.
Well, in this sense, yes, but the 9th dimension would just be pure light, pure energy, the soul. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
Right. Now, the cool thing about the 9 dimensions, you got to also think there's ways to kind of skip some. So, for example, death. You jump straight to Osiris. You feel me? you go straight to the gate. You talking to him. All right, we're going to weigh your heart against the feather. Cool. You can go through the blue art. You're going to make it or you ain't. You know what I'm saying? You gonna hop off the boat or not? Right? And so, I think it's another level too. Just you being born, essentially, you have to go through Osiris on that 4th, 5th level, and now you on Earth, and vice versa. All right? So there's a few ways you kind of jump through unintentionally, right? You got stuff like shrooms. That can take you straight to the 6th level, right? You're talking with some deities, or just the energies in general. So the Hall of Amenti, pretty much, I want to say kind of encompasses that whole spectrum because it's dealing with you transferring consciousness. You're jumping through waves, right? You create an avatar body from scratch, right? You're jumping through. You can decide whether you're coming back or not. Both will go down there sometime. I think at one point in the tablets, he was like, all right, this will be my final time here for like a good amount of years. Because if he ruled over one place for 14,000 years, think about how many times he came back. Think about how many times he was trying to send a message, give a message. Why do you think everybody started writing stuff all of a sudden, right?
Mm-hmm.
Remember we talked about that last episode? At some point, people had to start writing shit. They just started picking up anything. They probably was hearing the teachings of Thoth.
Somebody probably realized that way of mouth wasn't going to get you very far once you wanted to recall what he was saying.
Right? And so that's why I say when it comes to stuff like religious texts and all that, only thing that determines the difference at this point is interpretation. But to get, I think, to get to the closest thing to what something's purpose is or the reason for it is to read where it came from. So we are aware that Thoth was an energy and or a living person who had this technology, or he came from, like you said, he pretty much considers himself a person of Atlantis, which I've read in other texts as well, that Thoth really came from Atlantis, or the ancient Egyptians were Atlanteans and so on and so forth.
Right.
And mm-hmm. all that to correlate to say, okay, the technology had before they quote unquote sunk or left or whichever thing you want to say happened to them, they left some of the remnants of technology to give some of that information, right?
Right, right. And then we just picked up.
All right, and so you just pick up on that today. You look at how everything correlates. You look at the Hall of Amenti. They allow access to the Hall of Amenti in the Great Pyramid of Giza too. I think they say like the spots are really, really tight, really tiny and stuff. You know what I'm saying? But you can see all these granite slabs. You can see all these chambers they had simply for the person. Because why would you have hundreds of these chambers for no purpose for them? We already talked about how the pyramids were electromagnetic capabilities from the aquifers that were hit in the groundwater, and it would be ionized, right? Yeah, how would that not correlate to the chambers? Those worked hand in hand. Those will work together. You see what I'm saying? You got to charge the technology that you're using down there besides your own energy and consciousness. You would put that down there as well. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. We know it's just off of hieroglyphics and other texts that they was using technology back then that we can't even begin to fathom how to create nowadays.
Facts, facts, facts. You know, we kind of keeping this one relatively short, you know what I'm saying? We just wanted to spit some game. We got, you know, we got things to tend to today, you feel me? But appreciate y'all for listening. Y'all been running up this season real crazy. Almost every episode, except the latest one, but almost every episode hit like at least 60 views already, at least, and keep going. So that's good. Appreciate y'all. Make sure y'all follow the page, you know what I'm saying?
Let's drop the name of some of them books one more time.
You have the Isis Thesis by, if you type in the Isis Thesis, you're going to find it. But it's a woman. I think it's like Judy J. King. I don't know. I might just be saying some shit. But it's a book called the Isis Thesis. Really good book. You have, you can read, I think it's a book by Billy Carson, the Emerald Compendium, or Emerald Talis, Emerald Compendium, where he does a breakdown of the tablets he read. You got The Elegant Universe by Brian Greene. And I think I might have. Oh, you got the Book of Thoth.
Oh, yeah.
You got the Book of Thoth by Aleister Crowley. That's a good book, too. Right? I think all those are great. They all mention the House of, the Hall of Amenti. You can even read the Egyptian Book of the Dead, too, and find information on that as well. That one I haven't read personally, though, but I do know about it.
One book that I like, it's called The Infinite Mindfield. It touches a lot on what you mentioned about just the different avenues of taking your consciousness to a higher level. You know, they touch on like DMT and ayahuasca. They touch on meditation. They touch on everything. Like, really good read. So, Infinite Mindfield by Anthony P. I'll check that one out too.
Facts. But on that note, y'all know how we do. Y'all know how we're going to do it. Long as we don't forget the outro. You know what I'm saying?
Don, that's to you. This time. All right, from men to kings.
And from kings to gods.
This has been Fresh Pharaoh Entertainment. Peace, family.
And we outie.
Well.